I want to speak on the law of life. The law of life.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Glory to God. We're going to look at Romans chapter 8.
Amen.
Challenging chapter is Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. It's good to have your Bibles with you. You can mark it, you can underline it when God just opens something up to you, begins to speak to you. I have a number of Bibles, and you know, sometimes I mark different ones up at different times. I'm thinking, oh yeah, what, right, you know. Different translations. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In being the very powerful word. In Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in order that the requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Are you walking according to the Spirit? Or are you walking according to the flesh? For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset of the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. And if Christ is not in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who indwells you.
Amen.
It's powerful. But it needs unpacking. It needs looking at. It needs drawing out. What is Paul saying? Paul's writing to the Romans and to the Jewish people who were living in Rome, and they were very legalistic. They liked the law. They loved the law. But they had no love. And so God, through Paul, is beginning to speak to the people. There is no condemnation to those who walk in the Spirit and don't walk in the ways of the flesh.
Amen.
Look at somebody and say, there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation if you walk in the Spirit. That's powerful.
Amen.
What that really says is that you and I have a choice. You and I have a choice. Are you going to walk in the flesh? Or are you going to walk in the Spirit? There's a choice to make. Every morning we get up, we can choose this day who you will serve. Are you going to walk in the flesh? Or are you going to walk in the Spirit? What are you going to do? Are you going to let your mind take control and say, oh, I can walk in the flesh today and just do what I want, it's okay? Or are we going to let the Word of God and the Spirit of God that is in us take control and begin to walk in the Spirit?
Yeah.
I'll guarantee that walking in the Spirit is far more profitable than walking in the flesh.
Amen.
I know we live in a fleshly body, but to walk in the Spirit is far more important, because the Spirit gives life to our fleshly body. It is the Spirit of God that quickens us. It is the Spirit of God that gives us life.
Amen. Yeah.
And without the Spirit of God, we're lost.
Yeah, we are.
Without the Spirit of God, we're dying.
Yeah.
Paul says, "For me to live is Christ."
Yeah.
For me to live is by the Spirit of Christ. And to die is gain. In other words, I don't lose out. You know, both sides of my card says winner. Whichever way I toss the coin, it's I'm a winner. It's a double-headed coin. Amen? God gave us a double-headed coin. Flick it. Heads. And again, heads. Whichever way I look at it, I've won. It says I'm a winner.
Amen.
If I walk according to the Spirit.
Praise God.
But if I walk in the flesh, it says loser.
Yeah.
Whichever side I look at, it says loser. Walk in the flesh, and it says on it, loser. Walk in the Spirit, and it says, winner. You're listening? Yeah. Hallelujah.
We win.
We're winners. You're winners.
I'm a winner.
If you walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
Are we walking in the Spirit? We walk in the Spirit, there's eternal satisfaction, there's an eternal purpose, there is an eternal plan. Life does not stop at the grave to those in the Spirit of God. It just goes on and on and on. God has prepared for us something special. All we're doing is changing suits. We're changing from this earthly body into this spiritual body that moves on with God. But for that to happen, we have to be in the Word of God. We have to allow the Word of God to begin the process of changing us. We're being changed daily as we read the Word of God. If you're not in the Word won't change you. If you don't eat for a week, will you be strong or will you be weak? Can't hear you. Weak. So if you don't eat for a week, you will be weak. That's complicated for the Nepalese to understand weak and weak. Yeah. You see, if you don't eat for 1 week, for 7 days, instead of being strong, you become weak. Weak, that weak, yeah. Glory to God. The learning, hallelujah. English classes are working. And so, God wants you to be feeding upon Himself. It's good to see you got a Bible on your knee, Claudia. It's dears, is it? Shouldn't you say that? She says, oh yeah, thank you, you know. Every one of us needs the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God that will keep us strong. It is the Word of God that will set us free. Amen? And we need to see the Word of God in our lives changing circumstances and situations. Paul says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. And he says, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's like I said, when you're walking in the Spirit, whichever side you look at, it says winner. Winner. I'm a winner. God has chosen you to be winners in Christ Jesus. He's planned for you to be a winner in Christ Jesus. God never invests in losers. Are you glad about that? God does not invest in losers. Neither do I. Neither do I. Many years ago, somebody told me I was investing my time into somebody's life and I was wasting it. In other words, they were saying I was a loser. I was betting on a loser. And I was going to waste all my time. That person's Helen. Somebody came up to me and got right in my face and said, "You're wasting your time with that one." And you know, Dilip, I looked back at him and I said, "Yeah, we'll see." When God tells you to do something, you do it. Amen. Keep focused on the things of the Spirit of God. Because for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So, if I'd have listened to that person, you wouldn't have Ellen as a youth leader. Don't you? You'd be sad, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
She's putting her time into you. And the time I put into her, he's been put into you. So I'm putting my time into you. And Grace's time into you. And it's all been done through Helen. You see, we're investing in people's lives. Today, we're investing in people's lives. Friday night, we invest in young people's lives. Friday night at Teen Challenge, we're investing in people's lives. And we're helping and praying that these people will become winners. Stephen invested into his life. Daniel invested into his life. And they're becoming winners. And you know, they don't only get a reward from walking with Christ. I get a reward also for the fact that I spent my time.
Amen. It's true.
For the fact that I inputted something of the nature of Christ. For the fact that I allowed them to see Jesus in me. I hope and pray. And the world today is looking for Jesus. So many people spend time watching TV, watching videos and other things, and they're looking for entertainment. When you've seen a film once, you've seen it. You know what's going to happen next time. It doesn't change, does it? It's the same story. If you say, "Let's go and watch a film," and you say, "I saw that last week," can you remember everything about it? And the answer is no. But when it starts to play, you begin to say, "Oh, I remember this." And it becomes boring.
Yeah.
I tell you what, Jesus is not boring. Jesus is exciting. Because Every time you think he's going to do something this way, he does it differently. Amen. And you think, wow, I never saw that coming.
Yeah.
But the church today has got into a place of repetition because it's not seeking the Spirit of God. It's living by laws and regulations and rules. There is a law. It's the law of the life in the Spirit of Christ Jesus. Amen. And as Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So Paul is talking about living in the Spirit, not in the flesh. He's talking about the very source of his life is via the Spirit. Not via the flesh at all, but via the Spirit. God wants you to live in a new dimension. God wants you young people to live in a dimension that a lot of people have never lived in. God wants to reveal himself in a different way than he's ever revealed himself to you before. God wants you to move into the realm of the Holy Spirit where you've never been before. I know the other Friday we were praying for some of you guys, weren't we? I'm praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Again. I think if I remember right, Sydney was had drunk too much, hadn't you? Sydney ended up on the floor. Bless her. She wasn't the only one. There were a few of them that would have been drinking of the Holy Spirit and feeding on the presence of God. And the overpowering love. Because it didn't hurt you, did it? Did you enjoy it? Yeah. God is here. Jesus is here that he might give you an experience that you enjoy. Because he's saying, there's more than this. There's more than this. This is the beginning. This is the beginning of new things in Christ Jesus. Have you been out and raised any dead people yet? Not yet. Okay. Not yet. I like that answer. Not yet. You see, that's the right answer. Not yet. Yeah, not yet. We've seen it. But I want everybody else to see it. I want people to get their hands dirty, spiritually speaking. Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. But it doesn't come out of the flesh man. It comes out of the realm of the Spirit man in Christ Jesus. So we have to walk in the Spirit. Question to you. Question. What is changing? Sorry, no. What are you chasing in life? What are you chasing in life? Charles might say, well, I'm chasing retirement now. One day. What are you chasing in life? Chasing boys? Chasing girls? Chasing riches? Chasing fame? What are you chasing in life? Chasing knowledge? What are you chasing? If you're chasing money, you'll become a slave to that. How do I know? See, I'm chasing Jesus.
Amen.
I'm chasing Jesus. And I'm a slave to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But he loves me. He cares for me. He's always there for me. Whereas you can be chasing money, you can be chasing things, a new car, a new house, or you can chase all these things, and that thing will break down, needs repairing constantly. It will need your attention in some way, and it will suck out of you. Whereas when we chase Jesus, Jesus is saying, I'm giving to you, I'm giving to you, I'm giving to you, I'm giving to you. And so Jesus says, what do you need? He says, I give it to you. When you chase Jesus, he says, what do you need? I'm giving it you. Yeah, the cross is an addition. God adds into our lives. He doesn't take away from us. only that which destroys us. He gives to us good gifts. Gifts to us to set us free. What in life are you chasing? Chasing after the world? You'll lose it. The world has got nothing worthwhile. You get one thing and then you're looking for the next thing. You're not satisfied with that anymore. And then you go for the next thing. And you get that and then that for a little while. And then you're looking for the next thing. And so constantly you're chasing after something. And you're chasing after something that will satisfy you. And the only thing that really satisfies is the Lord Jesus Christ. A relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'll always be with you, I'll always provide for you, I will be with you through every difficult situation, I will be with you in your joy, I will be with you, I will be your peace. There's a great story of a missionary named Dr. John G. Lake. He went to Africa in 1908. That's a long time ago, isn't it? I wasn't born then, okay, just. He went to Africa. He went to South Africa, 1908, him and his family. And a year or two later, there was a great outbreak of the bubonic plague. And hundreds were dying. And he was having to care for the sick and he was burying the dead. And finally, the British. We sent out a ship with soldiers and medics on board from the services. And they brought supplies and began to treat the people. And they said to John G. Lake, they said, we need to give you some protection. He said, I have all the protection I need. Yeah. They said, no, you must take this medicine for protection. He said, I've got all I need. Yeah. And you know, in that bubonic plague, when people died, their lungs just brought up a froth and a substance. And in that was the plague. And that plague lived, and if you touched it, you could catch the plague. And so he said to them, he put his hand, he picked up some of this foam which contained the plague. And he said, look at it, examine it. He asked them to examine it beforehand. He said, examine it after it's been in my hands. And when they looked at it after he'd had a hold of it in his hands, they said, it's dying. Amen. It is dying. The power of God in a believer's life will destroy the works of the devil. Will destroy sickness and disease. You see, Jesus, when he walked on the earth, you weren't allowed to get into contact with the leper. Because you will be classed as being unclean. You might have leprosy. You could contact leprosy, they believe, by touching these people. And yet Jesus touched the lepers. And he said they were healed. No sickness, no disease. The law of life in Christ Jesus. There's a law to sin and death. But there's a law to life in Christ Jesus. Which one are you and I following? Are you following the law of sin and death, which leads to eternal damnation, which leads to nothing but hell and torment? Or are you leading on that way to go with the law of life in Christ Jesus, which brings us to an exciting future? I've got an exciting future. Have you? Have you a destiny in Christ Jesus, or are you just bored? Do you just sit at home and think, I wonder what I'm going to do next, or I'll just do this. You know, I've got nothing to do, I'm bored. Most of the time, I hear it from young people, I'm bored. I'm not saying you guys, but the things I hear from young people, I'm bored. I don't know what to do. It's like, you don't know what to do. Well, I'm telling you, get into a relationship with Jesus Christ and you will soon know what to do. It becomes so exciting. It's so powerful and so mighty. He got bored and went into drugs. Began to destroy him. Began to take his will to live away from him. Lost everything. Only had friends when he had some drugs or money. But Jesus came along.
Amen.
And grabbed hold of him tight.
Amen.
And he grabbed hold of Jesus.
Yep.
And life has changed.
Praise God.
He has a future.
Amen.
He has a purpose.
Amen.
He has a plan. And God has a plan to bring him through in victory. God has a plan to make his life great. God has a plan to use him for his service. And God has a plan to fulfill his promises into that young man's life. Because he's following the law of the Spirit, not the law of the flesh. The law. John G. Lake said to these doctors, he told them, the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus is life.
It is.
It's life.
It is.
Some people will tell you, get a good education. There's nothing wrong in that. I went to university. In fact, we were only talking, just Grace and I, the other day. I went to university and then they said to me, you've done so well, we want you to go on and do a master's degree in, I think it was Aston University in Birmingham. And I looked at them and I thought, I'm not going to use this in the future. Because I knew I was not staying in industry. I knew there was a call of God on my life. And I said, I'm not going. I got a job, moved on. Managed to work 10 more years in industry and God said, it's time to leave, come on. It's time to trust me now for the rest of your life, for the rest of your future. And so for the last 33 years, Grace and I have trusted God for our finances. Sometimes there was no job, but there was God. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He said, I will keep you. I will provide for you. And so we had to take hold of the hand of God and just follow Him. Just follow God. And wherever He's leading, just follow God. When God suddenly says, come on, come with me. I've got something for you to do. You just take hold of the hand of God and you begin to follow. You begin to allow God to lead you and to direct you. And you might say, well, what am I going to do for provision today? And God says, I'm your provider. God says, I'm not going to leave you. I will provide for you. And then doubt comes in and say, well, what if he don't? God has never lied. God has never lied. You don't have to sign on the dole. You sign on with God.
Amen.
Sign on with God and let God do the rest. Let God prove his word. Let God prove his promises. We need to begin to learn to walk by faith. You know? Is there something there? Lord, lead me. Wherever I go, Lord, lead me. You know? I'm stepping out, Lord, in faith. I'm trusting you, God. Are we going to follow what God is saying to us? Or are we going to listen to our intellect? Are we going to listen to our mind? And miss out the best things in life. You know that plague was around in our 14th century. And it went throughout the world. And it killed over 50 million people. That plague. It was a killer. That's nearly the population of our nation today. And they had nothing for it. But yeah, if the church had reached into God, we have every answer. Well, you say, well, how can you say that? You know, it's just how things happen. No, it's not how things happen. It's the devil of this age. It's the demon of this age that seeks to destroy mankind. The devil wants to destroy you. He'll destroy you through sickness and disease if he can. He'll destroy you by even you not focusing on him, but just focusing on your job. Just focusing on your family. Just focusing on your computer, the TV, your hobby, whatever it is. He will get you focusing on something other than God. When you take your eyes off God, you're losing it. God's not taking his eye off you, but you have taken your eye off God. Now I'm told that to be a good tennis player, you have to be able to keep your eye always on the ball. You don't hit the ball with your eyes off it. You miss it. Is that right, Ken? When you're playing golf, and I'm not very good at golf, I think it's boring, but our Ken loves it, so that's all to each. But you know, if you take your eye off the ball, you'll miss it, won't you? Eh? It's only a small ball, and it's only a little stick. And you know, if you don't look at the ball, you will miss it. Let me tell you this. If you don't keep your eye on Jesus, you will miss it. You will miss it. Some folks say, going to church is boring. It must be. You do the same thing. It's not boring if you allow the Holy Spirit to begin to move. It's not boring if you come and say, Lord, use me today in church. Lord, I'm available. What do you want to do with me in church, Lord? Absolutely. I'm available, Lord. What do you want me to do? Some of you come to church and say, oh, I always sit here. I always do this. Well, change. Change. Do something different. When was the last time you did something for the first time? That went over like a lead balloon. I'll say it again. When was the last time you did something for the first time? Did you get that? Are you sure? Yeah, okay. When was the last time you did something for the first time? Can be so exciting in God. The presence of the Holy Spirit comes in and begins to call you to do something. When was the last time you spoke in tongues? When was the last time you prophesied? When was the last time you brought a word of knowledge and wisdom and revelation? When was the last time you read the Word of God? When was the last time you had conversation with God? When was the last time you said to God, what do you want me to do? Instead of saying, excuse me, God, but I have this list. God, I need you to do this, and I need you to do this, and I want you to fix this, and I want you to get me this, and I need this, and I'm going to have this. And that's not prayer. When was the last time you said to God, what do you want me to do? Most of the time when we come to pray, we pray, God, give me this. God, get me that. God, I need this. God, I want that. Do we give Him thanks? Do we give Him praise? Do we worship Him? Turn to Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. The law of life. What is the law of life? Romans 6, chapter 3. Sorry, Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Try that again. Do we not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, then certainly we shall also be like Him in His resurrection, knowing this, that the old self was crucified with Him, and that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who died is free from sin. Christ died to conquer sin. Christ died that you might be free. Christ died that I might be free. Free from what? Because we all say, we live in a free country. We're free to do what we want. You are not. You are not. If there's a policeman down the street and it says 30 miles and you decide to do 60, guess what? You're in trouble. We are not free to just do what we want. We're free to live by the law. Amen. And the thing is that if we were baptized into the death of Christ, because you see, before we came to Christ, we were sinners. Yeah. We were the walking dead. Yeah. Nobody sees that, but we were the walking dead. Yeah. But when we came to Christ, we suddenly became alive in Christ Jesus. And so in His death, we died to sin. In His burial, we were buried to sin. The old lifestyle was being crucified, was being put to death. And the new man was being created. When you accepted Jesus, Sydney, as your Lord and Savior, you became a new Sydney. You became a new person, and God started to work on you and changed you. He's shaping you and molding you. And so every one of us that asks Jesus into our lives, there is a process going on where we are being changed. And Paul says we're being changed from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. Hallelujah. We are being changed. We're being created in the image of God. You see, we're going back to where we should be. Because in the beginning, God created Adam and Eve, and He made them in His image. And God looked at everything and said, it is wonderful, it is perfect, it is very good. And then sin came in, and it began to go downhill. Sank into the mire of sin and degradation, of wickedness and evil. And then Jesus came. And He reached down. And He grabbed hold of your hand and said, come on, follow me. And He pulls you out of sin. And He reaches down for another one. And He grabs hold of their hand and says, come on, follow me. He says to them, stand on my promises. Stand on me, the rock, Christ Jesus. Stand on those promises and trust me. And as you trust me, I will give you the abilities that you haven't got now. I will give you the courage that you haven't got. I will give you the strength. I will give you boldness to do things in my name. Now you take that as a promise. Amen. I just got that for you. God's going to do something for you shortly. God is about to move if we let Him. Make ourselves available. Be available. Lord, I'm available. Lord, make me ready. Lord, I want to do whatever you put before me. I want to do it, Lord, with the whole of my heart and my being.
Yes.
I want to do it for your glory. And the Word of God says that, you know, it is that Lord of life that does this in Christ Jesus. He said in verse 5, he says, we become united with Christ. John's Gospel talks about, in chapter 15, talks about you and I being connected into the vine. Grafted into the vine. So that as we're grafted into Christ Jesus, we bring forth fruit. We don't bring any fruit forward in the world. Just works. But in Christ, there's that divine life, the life of God, that wells up within us and it brings life. Are you, am I, showing the life of Christ? Are we showing the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives? I'm challenging you today. I'm challenging you to step up. Step up.
Amen.
Don't let everybody else do it for you, because it's not going to work. Because I won't stand before God for you on the judgment day. You won't be able to turn around and say, excuse me, just a minute, God. Can I get Andrew to speak up for me? God's going to say, no. The real question is, God is going to say, what did you do? What did you do with Jesus? Did you do as He told you to do?
Amen.
Go out. Make disciples. Amen. Preaching the gospel. Healing the sick.
Yeah.
Raising the dead. You might hear and say, well, I'm not really a preacher. I don't have a lot of courage. I don't know what to say. Neither did I. When I got filled with the Holy Spirit, God began to change me.
Amen.
Surrendered everything to Him and He began to shape me. He began to mold me. He began to change me. And the Holy Spirit came to give me boldness so I can get in your face and tell you, God loves you. God loves you, Holly. Amen. I'm glad He loves me too. Hallelujah. Thanks for that. We need to be reminded of it now and then. God loves you, Edwin. And we need to walk of faith.
Amen.
Don't be a grumbler. Don't be a complainer. Look to God and say, what can I do, Lord?
Woo.
If you think things aren't going right, then start praying and saying, God, let me get involved. What can I do?
That's good.
Amen.
Just in the Word of God, it says there's no grumblers or complainers going to heaven. They're all hellbound. You see, God is not a complainer. That same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead.
Yes.
Amen. Should live in you. That same Spirit should be living in you. He should be vibrant. He should be pumping life.
Amen.
He should be quickening this mortal body so that, you know, we're on the starting blocks.
Amen.
Come on. I'm ready. Come on. I'm ready, God.
Yes.
Just, you know. Fire the gun, Lord. Let me go. life for God. The Spirit of God propels us. He says He quickens us. So we can do great things. Hallelujah. Quickening us. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 and verse 7. What shall I say then? Is the law sin? May it never be. On the contrary, I would not have you know sin except through the law. For I would not have you know about coveting if the law had not said, thou shalt not covet. You know, the law has been the school teacher that has literally got hold of us and said, come on, I'm going to show you what's wrong. I'm going to show you what's wrong. I'm going to show you the truth also. And so the law gets hold of us and begins to lead us. And what the law is trying to do is to lead us closer to God. So often, we miss it. We miss it. And what the world's doing today, it's decided that the laws of our nations shall be changed. You see, the laws of our nation are based on the Bible, are based on the love and the principles of God. But today, our leaders decide we'll change the law. And suddenly they say, it's all right to be gay. It's all right to be homosexual. It's all right to live with another man. A man living with a man, a woman living with a woman. It's all right, you don't have to get married. You can just have a family, and then if you want, you can just get up and leave them to it, and then go and find another woman. And so the laws are being changed in our nation to accommodate the sin that is in the world. Laws are being changed to say, it's no longer sin, it's okay to do it. Well, let me tell you this, God Himself has not changed. What I have written, I have written. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will not change. Our nations need to change. The people need to change. And just because we make laws and say it's okay to go and live with somebody, it's okay to go and have a family, just because it's okay to go and live with another man, it is not okay in the sight of God. He is the highest law. He makes the final decisions. He's the one who you will stand before and God will say, what did you do? And you won't be able to turn around and, well, you know, God, David Cameron said it was okay to go and do it, and his government said it was okay. They rubber stamped it and said, I can go and do this. You won't be able to turn around and say, Ed Miliband said it was okay, so I'm fine doing it. I don't care which persuasion or party you're from, if they're not following the word of God, then they're out of line. We're coming up to a vote soon with the EU, and the people in there are out of line with the word of God. They're making laws that actually say that girls and boys can use the same toilets. Men and women can go into the same toilets. Do you want a man following your daughter into the toilet? And then they say, it's okay. It's not a problem. It is a problem. The Church of God needs to stand for what is right and true. The Church of God needs to take its stand. And if you sit back taking your ease and say, no, it's okay, somebody will sort it out, leave it to Andrew, it'll be okay. then you're making a big mistake. Yeah. Because one day God is going to say to you, and what did you do?
Yeah.
What did you say?
Yeah.
It is not time to be silent.
No, it isn't.
It is time to pray.
Amen.
It is time to pray.
Yes.
We as a church need to pray.
Amen.
More. And we're going to start having some more prayer meetings. And we're going to pray and pray. And we're going to see God moving in power. You see, the law was there to guide us and to lead us. But Jesus came through grace. You know, grace was there before the law was there. It was the grace of God that brought men and women to God Himself. Before the Moses and the law. It was the grace of God that created you and me. It was the grace of God that loves us. Loves us even when we were sinners. It was the grace of God that sent Jesus to die on a cross. It was the grace of God that called Jesus' name out on that third day and said, "My son, arise!" And he rose from the dead. What do you want to be? Do you want to be a man pleaser? Or a self-pleaser? Or do you want to please God?
Please God. Amen.
And for me, I want to please God.
Amen.
Because I know this, for the last 33 years, He has taken care of me every day of my life. He's looked after me every day of my life. Since I gave up and went full-time. And for the last 50 years, He's been with me. He's walked with me. And I've gone through some dark days. And I've gone through some difficult times. But He said, "I'm not going to leave you, Andrew."
Amen.
There have been days when I felt He'd left me. It was me. I'd left God. I'd stopped talking to God. But He said, "I'm still here." He made a promise. He kept His promise. That's why I'm still here. Are you going to keep your promise to God? Am I going to keep my promise to God? Do I want to be a God pleaser?
Amen.
Or do I want to please people? What are you going to do? Are you going to be on fire for God? Are you going to be a firebrand for God? Are you going to fulfill the purposes of God in your life? Or are you just going to be a man pleaser? These are the choices we have to make. I know today's a harder word today. And I know some of you may not understand it all. But when you get together and you speak together in Nepalese, talk about it together. What are we going to do? Are we going to take this area for Jesus?
Yes.
Or are we going to let the devil take this area over totally? You make a decision on that. But we have to do it together.
Yeah.
We have to press in together.
Yeah.
And destroy the wickedness that is around us through prayer, through the power of God. And as we do events, you know, that we'll bring people in from outside. It has been so great to see young people giving their lives to Jesus over these last few months. The church... I'm not going to say the church of the future, because it's like, well, as if they are nothing now.
Amen.
But they are the church of the future, but they're also the church of today.
Yes, they are. Yes.
Church with no young people is dying.
Yeah.
But a church with young people that get on fire for Jesus, He's going to burn brightly.
Amen.
He's going to burn brightly.
Yes.
He's going to set captives free.
Yes.
We're going to see the power of God moving in their lives in a mighty way. Verse 11 in chapter 7 says, "For sin takes opportunity through the commandment, deceiving me, and through it killed me." You know, sin wants to take an opportunity to kill you. Sin comes to destroy you. But Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life." I've come. that you might have life. And when you get hold of life, get hold of it with both hands and don't let it go. Don't sit around doing nothing and let your life be robbed from you. You know, some of you might say, well, I can't do a lot. Well, you're letting the devil rob you. You might turn around and say, well, I'm not sinning in any way, but what are you doing? You're letting the devil rob you. I want to see some of our young people in the future going with us on mission trips. Man, I'll tell you, they'll get so on fire, they'll come back with all turbos running. They'll be so on fire for Jesus. Just to see the power of God. The problem is so often we get into our own church situation, we become comfortable. I want to make you uncomfortable, in one sense. Because I want you to get so fired up. You know, when a young chick is hatched out, the mother feeds it, it keeps it comfortable. And then it keeps it a bit longer, it makes it nice and comfortable. And then after a short period of time, as the bird starts to flap its wings a bit and look out the nest and think, oh, I'm not coming out of there. When the eagle does, you can be the young chick. Joan, put your Bible over there. You're the young chick. You see, what the mother bird does is it takes the nesting compound that the bird's nice and comfortable on and kicks it out of the nest. And says, now then, you've got spiky branches to sit on, or you're going to learn to fly. Well, you make the choice. What are you going to do? Are you going to fly like the eagle? Or are you just going to sit there and go, feed me. Feed me. And get to a point where you get so fat. There's no way can you fly. You know? Suddenly, you'll be in the nest. You know? And you got so fat. And you think, I'll try and fly. What am I going to do? You're now vulnerable prey to wild animals. You're a prey. You're no longer the hunter. You're the hunted. You're the prey of the next wild animal that comes along. Are you going to be a hunter, or are you going to be the prey? Are you going to be the one who's standing for Jesus, or are you the one who's going to be defeated? Which are you going to be? Jesus gave us a commandment. He said it earlier. Go out. Go out into all the world. Preach the gospel. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. And cast out demons in my name. Are you going to live by the law of life in Christ Jesus? Or are you going to live by the law of sin? Are you going to live by your past? Or are you going to live by your future? Are you going to live with a purpose and eternity in your very life? Or are you going to live defeated? And the problem is that many of us can live a defeated life and never ever see that we're actually defeated. Because we're comfortable, like the bird in the nest. It's comfortable. The food is brought to it. There you are. Here's your food. Eat it. Lovely. You know. Even the mother comes back and clears up the poop afterwards. Keeps the nest clean. You know, changes your bedding. And we sit there and think, yeah, this is okay, isn't it? Well, there will come a day when mother no longer turns up and father no longer turns up, and you've become so fat and sterile and lazy You can't fend anymore for yourself. And you die. You become prey instead of being the one who's looking for the prey. God wants you. God is raising up sons with fire in the belly. Fire in the belly. That's what God is looking for. Looking for sons and daughters with fire in the belly. That will say, "You will not stop me. I'm going for this. No matter how I feel, I'm going for this. I'm pressing in. I'm pressing through." It's not about age. It's about, do you have that fire? Is that fire that desire? Or have you just lost it? Come on, you need to get that fire again. You need to have a fire within you that is set by the Holy Spirit, and that you need to catch again the purpose and the vision and the goal that God has for you. Don't lose your life. Don't waste your life. Don't lose the purpose in life. Reach out again and take possession of what God has given to you, what is rightly yours. Do not let the devil steal it from you. Because that's what he wants to do. Jesus said, the devil has come to steal, kill and destroy. Remember Kate telling me something about her life, how the devil came to steal, kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come you might have life and have it more abundantly. And God has a purpose for your life. God has a plan for your life. And it's a good purpose and a good plan. God said, I will do all things good for you. I will make you a light. I will rid you of all of that darkness, and I will make you a light, and you shall be an example to others of what God has done and what God is able to do, and you will lead people to Christ in similar circumstances and situations. And God says, I will do it. I will do it. You won't do it, but I will do it through you as you surrender totally to me. God is about to work today. God is about a preparation for each and every one of us. And he's saying, who's got the fire? Who wants the fire? Who's going to stand? Who's going to reach and say, I'm going for this?
Yes.
I'm going to challenge you today. Are you going to stand and go for it, Christ Jesus? If you are, come out here right now. We're going to lay hands on you. And in the name of Jesus, pray over each and every one of you. Because I want to see people with a fire in their belly. I want to see people that is going for the things of God. That don't need, oh please, will you do it? But you say, I'm here. Let's do it.
Amen.
I'm going for it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just come out right now. We're going to lay hands on you in Jesus' name. Lord, I want the best. I want to be inspired and fired up, oh God. Lord, I want to do the purposes for you. Hallelujah. It's great to see young people come in and said, I'm going for it.
Yes.
Is God looking for that?
Yes.
Spirit of God, burn within us. Don't let the things of this world hold you back. If you hold too tightly to the things of this world, you will lose it.
Yes.
You will lose it. God taught me that many years ago. Hold lightly the things that I give to you. Even the things of the world, because he says, when you hold them lightly, I can take them away and there you are. You're ready with empty hands to receive the next thing. And I thought, wow, I'd never seen that before. Because I was holding on to something of the world so tightly. And God showed me, you hold on to that and I will take it from you. And it will hurt. But he said, hold it lightly.
Amen.
He says, and when I'm ready to give you something new, when you're ready to receive something new, he says, I'll just lift that from you and I will give you a new thing.
You will, every time.
And I just said, yes, Lord. Yeah. And I've lived my life like that. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yeah. Sometimes I don't understand, didn't he? Seriously. You know, you might think, oh, he's got it all together. God's got it all together.
Yeah.
I'm just following.
Amen.
I'm following.
Yeah.
Spread out along here, please. Hallelujah. Come on, come forward and spread right out. I won't miss any of you out. God won't miss any of you out because God right now is looking down. Stay there. God's looking down right now upon you. God's taking a photograph of you. He's made a digital image. He's got his mobile camera out. Yeah, got him. Hallelujah. He says, I know your name. I know your name. And I know the plans I have for you. Plans to do you good. I have a purpose for you. The question is, are you going to step out into that destiny? Are you going to step out into that destiny? Or are you just going to sit back? It won't happen. You have to begin to step into the destiny that God has for you. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Just let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name. Father God. Hallelujah. Father, we pray for the destinies that you have for us.
I agree.
No man shall steal it from us.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
no
Jesus.
Man shall deceive us.
No.
Lord, give us a clear vision of you and a clear purpose and to know you in Jesus' name.
Yes, thank you.
Hallelujah.
Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, fulfill the destiny.
Yes.
Hallelujah. In Jesus' name,
Jesus.
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for grace, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the destiny.
Amen.
When you brought us together.
Yes, you did.
Thank you, Lord, you brought us together with a plan and a purpose.
Yes, and it will
I thank
be
you,
fulfilled.
Father, that, Lord, you have promised.
Yes.
You've given us promises time after time, and you,
Amen.
Lord, are still fulfilling your promises
you
to us. And, Father,
so
we're going to trust you,
them
Lord, until we are caught to be with you.
Amen.
Lord, we're trusting you. We're believing
you
it in Jesus' name.
I
Hallelujah.
Agree.
Praise God, Father, for Joan. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, the enemy that had sought to attack her over the years, the darkness that tried to come over her, Father, I just break this in Jesus' name. And Lord, let your light continue to flow out of this life. Lord, let the power of a testimony, and Lord, let faith continue to grow and arise. And Father, I pray that, Lord, you would cause her to know, Lord, a fulfilling of your destiny in her life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Be free in Jesus' name. Know the power of the gospel in Jesus' name. For can, Lord, I pray, Lord, your anointing would become upon him stronger. Father, this ability to teach your word, to open the gospel, to open the word of God. Lord, that he would inspire others, Father, I pray, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Give him a greater boldness in the power of the Spirit, God, for you. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, everything, oh God, that has troubled, Father, in Jesus' name, we break the power. And Father, as she stepped out and said, Lord, I want to serve you. I want a purpose in my life. I want to live for you, Father. I pray right now that these footsteps, Lord, will be footsteps, Lord, that have started the destiny that, Lord, she shall link hands with you and she shall know your anointing and power on her life. And the lies of the enemy, Lord, shall be shut out, Lord. She shall become deaf to the devil and his ways in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Jesus. The Lord says to you, you've sought me for many days. You've sought my ways and you've stumbled at times and you've not found me in the way you wanted. The Lord says to you today that as you step out and as you seek my face afresh and as you allow me to show you and as you open yourself up to receive from me and as you surrender and as you allow me to remold you and to shape you, you shall see a new way. You shall see a new fresh anointing. You shall be quickened by my Spirit in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Sababara gushu kurabarandaya. Kistimamoro gushu kurababarandaya. Oh Lord. Oh God, God, God. Chiki baba bada. Hallelujah. The Lord would say to you, you are still my molding table. The Lord would say to you, I am still shaping you. For I have much and I have important things for you to do. But I am shaping you. And as you surrender to me and allow me to shape you and to mold you, you will know my hand mightily upon you. We just wait on me and trust me and know the power. Know power and let that power rise up within you. Know that anointing that I shall bring it to a place of fullness in the mighty name of my Son Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, Lord, I pray, oh God, that, Lord, you will just bring, Lord, a wholeness and a fullness into Graham's life, Father. Lord, you will bring a quickening. Lord, you will bring an awakening, Father, by the power of your Spirit. And that, Lord, he would know such a move of you, oh God, such a connection, Father. And, Lord, you will give him the holy boldness in Jesus' name. Hallelujah for your glory. Amen. Hallelujah for Mary. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for that healing power on her mind. I thank you, Father, for deliverance and you set him free. And I pray, oh God, Lord, you would continue to begin to equip her and make her, Lord, strong, Lord. Cause her to be that light, oh God. Father, I pray that that prayer of hers, Lord, that she's uttered so many times, oh God, shall come to pass. That, Lord, she will see your glory. She will know your power. Lord, she will find the touch of you on her life in such a mighty way. And that, Lord, Lord, as people have spoken down against, Lord, you will exalt her and cause her to know your presence in her life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, for him, Lord, prune, and God, we just pray, oh Father, Lord, that by your Spirit, Lord, I pray release in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. I pray release in the name of Jesus. Release in the name of Jesus, Lord, for purposes and the plans that you have for her, oh God, that she will begin to walk in them by the power of your Spirit, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord, break them chains. Break them chains. Break them chains in Jesus' name. Break the chains in the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for this prayer warrior. Yeah, okay. Yeah, but Lord, I pray first of all for this prayer warrior. Father, I pray that these words, the prayers, oh God, shall be mighty in you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Mighty in you in the name of Jesus. Lord, and you just meant a complete healing as she connects with you, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, Jesus, Lord, I pray, Lord, her faith shall rise. Lord, the faith, Lord, shall rise. It shall rise to trust you, Father. Lord, not to trust in men, not to trust in men's ways, but Lord, to trust in you. And Father, Lord, that she, Lord, will find a way, Lord, in you, Lord, to step out and to know you. And Father, there shall be a release in the name of Jesus. A release, Father, in Jesus' name. That, Lord, your power shall flow through her. The example of, Lord, the faith in Jesus Christ, of trusting you and moving forward, Father. I pray, Lord, you give her the courage to step out and to press into the things of you, Father. And Lord, give her the courage to say no and to follow you. Say yes to you and to yes to your Holy Spirit, Father, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, Lord, that, Lord, you would set, Lord, a fire. You would set a fire. You would set a fire, O God, within her. That, Lord, there shall be a hunger and a thirsting for you, Lord, like there has never, ever been, Lord. That, Lord, she will not be rejected, but, Lord, you will cause her to know your acceptance and your love. Set a fire within her, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we pray, Lord, for strength. And I thank you, Lord, for the faith that has grown in this life. And I give you praise for that, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord, you would increase her yet again. That, Lord, she would become a mighty woman of prayer and a mighty woman of faith, O God. And that, Lord, as she steps out in you, Lord, she shall know your power and your presence flowing in her life. And that, Father, she shall trust you even more to the greater depth than she's ever done, O God. And she would know, Lord, that you are in her hand. And she would know your presence constantly, daily in her life, Father. And that, Father, as she steps out, she shall see mighty things done in and through the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, use her for your glory, we pray, in Jesus. Let the anointing rest upon her in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Lord. Lord, your work has just begun. Your work has just begun, oh God, we see. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would cover this child with your Holy Spirit. You protect her, O God. And